Hello, David. It's nice to have you. I imagine there's an interesting story behind how you got interested in woodblock printing.
Woodblock printing, yes, of course. It started with okonomiyaki.
How's that? That's a surprising answer.
Perhaps so. I was living by myself in Toronto in Canada, and men living by themselves are not so interested in cooking, and I used to go out to restaurants every night. And at that time, this is about 20 years ago, there was quite a boom in Japanese cooking. Japanese restaurants there were sushi places and this and that, and I got into the habit of going to Japanese restaurants every evening. The first one was okonomiyaki. I loved it and thought, boy, tomorrow I'm going to go to another one, and tomorrow I'll go to another one. And I gradually got interested in Japanese things, starting with Japanese pancakes.
And were there some woodblock prints on the wall at
that
restaurant?
Well, funny, yes, exactly. Of course, that's exactly what there was. I saw them there, and then a few days later, or a few weeks later, I don't remember exactly, and there was an exhibition of some kind of Japanese prints in a small gallery there. I went in just out of general curiosity, and I was fascinated by what I saw on the walls, these beautiful, beautiful objects. I remember quite vividly standing there in front of the wall going, what is this, these beautiful things? That's where it started.
What kind of show was that?
I don't remember, because it was before I really knew anything about prints. It was probably Hokusai and Hiroshige, one of these famous, you know, printmakers. But it wasn't the design that interested me. It wasn't the fact that they were beautiful landscapes or kabuki or whatever. It was the beauty of the object, this beautiful paper and the beautiful colors and the gorgeous carved lines. It was just the entire thing itself, not the artwork, the object that was on the wall.
Was that your first exposure to Japanese art?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what were you doing at that time with your life in Canada?
Oh, it's long stories. At that time I was manager of a sheet music store and doing some computer programming. I was just wandering around, bouncing from one thing to the next. I hadn't really been deeply interested in anything. And starting that day, when I saw those prints on the wall, it didn't come that day instantly, but gradually my interest came bit by bit, day by day, deeper and deeper. And here I am 20 years later, making a living, making Japanese woodblock prints.
Well, let's stay back in that time a little bit. I'm real curious, how did you happen to make your first print? How did you happen to come to Japan?
Well, I'm not sure how Japanese people go about things, but when they develop an interest in something, I think perhaps most Japanese people, they look for a teacher or they look for a school, someplace to teach them how to do it. I'm a Canadian, I guess, and we don't do it that way. You see something you want to do, well, you just try doing it by yourself. I saw the prints on the wall. I knew nothing about how they were made, but I knew they were woodblock prints. So I got myself a piece of wood, got myself some kind of cutter knife, got some kind of pigments, I don't even remember now, and I started hacking away at the piece of wood. I made a print. I won't show it to you now, of course. Like it's been thrown away long ago, but that's the way. You just try doing it, then look at the result and say, well, okay, let's try again, and try again, and try again, one at a time.
Had you done other artwork before that?
No, I'm not the slightest bit interested in art. I'm not an artist now. And in fact, my parents recently, I was talking to them about this, they're shocked, stunned to find that I'm making a living in the world of arts. They would never have dreamed that would happen when I was growing up.
Well, looking at your beautiful prints, I certainly want to call you an artist. Why do you say you're not an artist?
Well, I'm making these prints, but remember, I didn't design them. The Japanese traditional print world of prints works in a certain way. One man designs, another man carves the blocks, still another man prints the blocks, and another man publishes, organizes the whole thing. It's really four people's cooperative effort. I'm doing three of those jobs. I don't design. I take a design from the Edo time, I carve it, I print it, and I publish it. But I don't design. I'm not an artist at all.
So what do you call yourself?
That's a good question. In English, the word printmaker sort of covers all these things. I make prints. That covers it. In Japanese, though, they use the word hangaka. That implies a person who designs and also carves and prints. That's not me. There's the word horishi, a carver. That's me, but I do more than the typical horishi. There's the word sudishi, a printer. I do that, but I do more than a sudishi. So there's no one word in Japanese that covers exactly what I do. In that sense, I'm a bit of a, well, let's say I'm unique. Can we say that? I don't know.
So in English, we should call you a printmaker.
It's the simplest word that explains what I do. I make the images on a piece of paper, so I'm a printmaker, I guess.
So after that first print that you made, mm-hmm. where did you go from there with your printmaking?
Well, I was still, of course, working as a salaryman in Canada, but gradually the desire came that I really wanted to learn how to make good prints. So I saved up a bit of money. I visited Japan once on a 3-month trip, taking a break from my job. I looked up some places to buy real wood blocks and real paper. I came and watched some people who were carving and printing, and went back to Canada with this little bit of knowledge in my mind, and tried again, little by little by little, one by one, to make good woodblock prints.
So as far as having a teacher, the only experience you had was just watching people make the prints.
Exactly, exactly. But in the old days too, when people became apprentices or so, the master didn't teach them what to do, just simply the apprentice was stuck in a room, corner of the room there, and he watched and watched and tried by himself. There was never any teaching, just you learn by watching and you learn by osmosis.
And then eventually you decided to come back to Japan.
Yes, I was getting a bit better and a bit better, but still I wasn't so happy in the day job and I really wanted to do this. So I quit my job there, got my the wife and kids and came over to Japan. This was 11 years ago last week.
Wow, congratulations. That's a long time.
Well, it's turned out to be a very good experience.
And at that time, you knew that's really what you wanted to do.
I knew what I wanted to do, but of course, making a living as a woodblock printmaker isn't so easy. So in the beginning, I opened an English conversation school in my home, and that lasted for 5 years. I taught English to children and their grandmothers in our neighborhood while I was developing my woodblock printmaking skills. The skills developed over 5 years, and after about 5 years, I changed jobs and closed the English school. I became a full-time woodblock printmaker.